I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root artist feature. I am talking today with collage artist Noble Beast. Noble Beast, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, Floyd. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Let's start at the beginning. Talk about your first collage, because I'm very interested in this story. Your first collage, give me the story behind that.
I had come across a couple of collage artists whose work I really enjoyed, and I was experimenting with a couple things, so I went out and bought some books from a thrift store. I found a nice piece of old kind of discarded wallpaper that I thought would make a nice background. So took me a few days to build this piece. The reason I was building this piece was to give as a gift to the girl I was dating at the time. So make this collage that takes me, you know, probably like 5 days. I'm pretty happy with it. I show it to a few people. I give it to her, and her response is, "I don't get it." And it kind of became this thing of whether or not that was like the best thing to give her a gift for someone's birthday, which I thought it was. I guess the fact that she didn't think it was probably symbolized a few more issues that we had to work out. But that was the first one I ever did. And, you know, regardless of her response, I kept making them ever since.
Well, needless to say that you all are not together right now. So maybe it's not because of the collage, but hey. But moving on from that point in your career up to now, talk about your process, because you talked about that first collage taking you 5 days or so. Mm-hmm. What is your process when it comes to either collecting the materials or mm-hmm. the actual assembly part of what you do?
Mm-hmm. I regularly go to thrift stores. I try to go to a couple a week just to see what they got. As I'm going through thrift stores, I will pick up books, you know, that I think I'll be able to use in the future, even though I might not think I can use them right away. So I kind of have this stockpile of source materials, you know, kind of always on hand. And when I'm going through and making collages, I'll go through every page of the book, cut out every image that I think I will eventually use, just something that kind of catches my eye, something that, you know, I think is interesting, and we'll stockpile it in a big folder. And then as I'm going through and trying to build something, I'll go through and kind of see what I've collected. And then after that, it's a lot of kind of trial and error, you know, trying different backgrounds, trying different images, trying different, you know, things until I find the right kind of like set of pieces that all come together.
Now, are there certain themes that speak to you, or if you're looking through your books with a particular focus, how do you approach that? Or do you just collect in general and look for themes later?
When I'm collecting, it's just anything. Could be any image, could be, you know, different text, fonts. A lot of old books have really amazing fonts that they use. So a lot of that is just collecting anything. And then I'll kind of like categorize those in a large kind of group of folders I have. And then as I'm going through, then I'm trying to pick out the ones that kind of match. But when I'm picking them out, it's just anything and everything.
Which books do you find yourself finding things more frequently from?
I started out collecting a lot of old Life magazines. The coloring on those are really amazing from like the late 60s, 70s. They have this really nice kind of matte coloring. All those pages are really big also. So a lot of the images, you know, are a big size where I can make a good size piece, maybe even use one of the pages as the background. So I was using a lot of kind of like, you know, magazines, old magazines from the 70s. But as I started getting more into thrift stores, then, you know, any book that has good illustrations or, images, good photographs, I've used a lot of, you know, artist books and photography books. But I've also used gardening books and some like, you know, cookbooks, things like that. Just anything where they've just made their images one of the key features in the book.
So when it comes to scale, or at least trying to create large volumes of work, you've had the chance to do a couple of things that really highlight that. One, you were one of the featured artists in the Wonder Root CSA, but then also you created these really interesting tables for the Wonder Glow fundraiser that took place earlier in the year. So could you give some context to either of those, or actually both of those? Mm-hmm. What was your process like for both of those?
So for the CSA, it was a really amazing experience to be a part of that. Not only to partner up, not only to be in the same group as a lot of these other artists who I have a lot of respect for, but for my own artistic endeavor, it was a huge challenge. I've made collages for the past few years, just kind of on my own, at my own pace, you know, kind of as I feel inspired. We'll make them, put them away, not really anyone sees them. You know, I've sold a few and given away a lot, but for this, you know, to make 50 in about 4 month time was a huge challenge for me, because I would say up to that point, I've been making them for 2 years and I had not even made 50 in that time. So a lot of that was sitting down, buying books constantly, going to the thrift store almost every day, buying a ton of books, going through, cutting those out, and just making pieces even though I didn't want to. You know, I was tired, needed to do other things, didn't have a clear vision of what I wanted to do, but just going through and putting things together until they started to make sense.
Looking back on that,
yeah.
Now, how do you feel about that process now, as you've clearly gotten beyond that? But looking at those times when maybe you did not want to make collages, uh-huh. and when you were sort of thrown into this process of having to get everything out by a certain time, how does that feel to you now?
It made me explore a lot of different styles that I probably wouldn't have otherwise, because I was trying to find so many different ways to create new things that I was doing things, you know, using images, making layers that I hadn't really experimented with at that point. So it made me go out and try a lot of new things, which was good. Because I didn't want 50 pieces to all look the same. You know, I wanted there to be each one to be unique, each one to be original. So that required me to try a lot of different things, which is good, because now I feel like I have, you know, my kind of like repertoire for what I can make is a lot larger than it would have been otherwise.
Do you have a style?
Yeah, it's, I do have a style. I think there's a lot of different ways to do collage. And my style is like pretty simple. Usually it's just between like 2 and like 4 or 5 layers. I like to use a lot of color. And the whole format, the whole layout is pretty simple. It's not really intense. Usually the pieces are pretty big. So it's not like highly intricate. But what I try to do is try to create a world within that piece. So if you look at it, you know, it looks like something that could exist, but it doesn't, and it never has. Because it's all these kind of like different pieces that weren't meant to go together. Which is something that I try to keep consistent, and something that I feel like is visually appealing to me, and, you know, and luckily is visually appealing to other people as well.
Where do you see collage art as it fits within the, I don't want to use the word traditional, but mm-hmm. let's say the more mainstream art world, or what people think of when they think about art, mm-hmm. the more easily accessible parts of art.
Yeah.
Let's use that. How do you think collage art fits into that when it comes to the viewers?
I think people see a lot more collage than they think they do. If you look at a lot of, especially kind of like older and still current, like movie posters, even book covers, album covers, will use kind of reappropriated images. And so I think, you know, with that, I think that shows that these people who are trying to make something visually appealing to an to the market, they're using the collage technique to do that. If you compare it to a lot of other kind of like art forms, you know, something like painting or drawing, you know, sculpture, photography, things like that, I think it does have a place, because you have to have a pretty high level of kind of like vision to be able to take 30 books and make one piece out of it. You know, and I think that requires a high level of skill, and I think that takes a lot of imagination, which is where, you know, what makes these other art forms great. It does have a little bit of difference because you are reappropriating someone else's images. It's not like painting where you lay it all on canvas and everything you're making there is your own. So I think some people have some different opinions on that. The way I see it is if it evokes an emotion from you and you like it visually, then, you know, I think that's just as valid as anything else. So,
how do you see your art or you as a collage artist or even collage artists in general as historians in a way? Because if every generation takes from past works from other generations, then there is a sense of history there that you are continuing to infuse into whatever you're making in that current day. So how do you see your role as historians in a way?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up because that's something I've been thinking about ever since I was making collages is we go back. I mean, and the source material I use, like I said, are books from thrift stores, you know, yard sales, flea markets, things like that. So, and then a lot of those things, especially in thrift stores, are they're pieces from society that have kind of sunk to the bottom of the consumer market. And so to go back and kind of like revitalize those and give those pieces new life, not only does it give like that image a new life, but I think it also kind of sets a chronicle visually for what people have lived through, what different kind of realms of society. And I think reusing that kind of shows people what things used to be around, and kind of what used to be predominant in the culture and maybe isn't anymore. And so it is kind of like putting that back out in front of people again.
Are we forgetful as a society? I guess as you have looked through all of these books and you collect them, do you get the sense that we forget easily?
I mean, people make things all the time.
Hold up. And I guess what I mean by forget,
yeah,
whether it's news stories or mm-hmm. things that were important in the past mm-hmm. time
okay.
from the 60s or 70s, as someone who is archiving constantly, do you feel like the rest of us are very forgetful or that it's easy for us to forget what had just happened mm-hmm. in the past?
Yeah, I think people forget a lot of the old products because people are constantly making new products to sell and to create and to, you know, make a profit off of. I think we forget that as far as like historical events and places, you know, where our society has been and things like that. I don't think people forget that very often. You know, that comes up in a lot of different conversations, which is good. I think maybe people who are like kind of the newer generations, maybe they haven't like seen a lot of the things that used to be in old magazines. So maybe they're probably not aware of it. And so what I always find interesting is as I'm going through, you know, very old books and magazines is I find myself reading the articles, you know, reading what they were writing about instead of just looking for images, which slows me down a lot. But it does help me kind of like remember and to almost like participate in what was going on before.
Give me an example of an old product that we have forgotten.
I think this is probably still around, but just really old like shaving cream advertisements are interesting, like the old Barbasol. Not only are those colors and those ads really amazing, but you don't really think of like Barbasol anymore. You see kind of like, you know, Gillette and like gel and all this new kind of like style of shaving cream. But just those old cans, I think are really interesting. There's a lot of kind of products for that were directly to like housewives, which was interesting. A lot of kind of like the images they were using were, you know, females, and they were directing these like dishwasher advertisements or like vacuums and things like that, which was interesting because a lot of these things, if you saw them now, you would think, oh, that thing's like really old and broken. But at one point they were brand new and like really nice. And it's also just to see these old advertisements, you kind of see what the market was and how that's kind of changed over the years and how interesting that is. Just to see it from almost like a product standpoint is pretty interesting.
What are you working on now?
Collage wise, I've kind of taken my foot off the gas a little bit. I think, you know, I'm kind of going back to my old style of, making things kind of as I am inspired, and as I kind of have the pieces that I want that I see fit for, a particular collage. I am working on a show coming up. There's a, craft group called Fox Boxes, and they make kind of new designs for flasks. And so I'm going to be part of that show. It'll be the first show I've been in since the CSA. I'm also working on a couple flyers, a couple album covers for a couple friends, which I've kind of done over the past few years, which is really fun because, you know, they approach me and want a particular style, and it's up to me to kind of find something to fit that. So,
Noble Beast, collage artist, let everyone know how they can get in contact with you or find you wherever you hang out in Atlanta or beyond, and otherwise enter into your world.
I'm obviously going under a pseudonym, so some people might be hanging out with me and not even know it. not a lot of my stuff is online, and a lot of it is just, you know, on paper. I don't know. If you're around me and we're talking about stuff, you might know it, and if not, then, you know, hopefully you'll see some of my stuff around the streets or on the walls or in someone's house.
Well, how about this? If anyone is out there who is listening to this podcast and they would like to find out about Noble Beast or to maybe have Wonder Root put out the bat signal of sorts to bring him in, contact us here at Wonder Root. And if you want to get in contact with Noble Beast, we can put you in contact. How's that?
Yeah, that's good. That'll work.
Okay, perfect. So contact us here at Wonder Root, and then we'll reach out to Noble Beast and connect you all as far as your art pursuits. So with that being said, Noble Beast, collage artist, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Floyd. I appreciate it.